the Pulse Portfolio Committee of Tourism and everybody else, and I hope that the honorable members have had some time at home to do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 things. Whose details will be tomorrow. So you are welcome back, the honorable members. We had ensured that we received the agenda on time. We didn't get any indication from any of the members in as far as amendment of the agenda is concerned, so I move for an assumption that we are comfortable with the agenda. Is that the case? Thank you very much. The apologies we have is Honorable Khalifa. He has some problems in relation to being in the air from Free State to Johannesburg and route to Cape Town. We also have the Honorable Peter. Peters will not be making it to the meeting. Those are the two apologies we have here. I don't know how she has it. Yeah. Yes, and then Honorable Kaiko will also not make it to the meeting due to some family-related challenges. Any other apologies? Thank you. Those are the apologies we have. Honorable members. So, because we must be done by lunch, or some few minutes before then, we will try and save as much time as possible without avoiding the critical issues. So without wasting time, we will give our support team, I nearly said Rivocrat, but we will give our support team, there's a terminology I like using of Rivocratism, I use it elsewhere, so I nearly said Rivocrat. We will now give our support team the opportunity to take us through. The approach, honorable members, will be that as presentation is done, if members have got an issue to raise or a discussion to put on the table, an addition to make, an inquiry to make, an amendment to make, we make it as we make the presentation. So that by the time we are done with the presentation, we are also done with questions of clarity, input, recommendations, and so on. So that at the end, we can just distill what is going to be our way forward. Over to you, Don.
Thank you, as indicated in the agenda, we are taking the members through primarily the legacy report of the Youth Parliament Portfolio Committee and the legacy. Members will note in the documentation that we forwarded, we attached the legacy report itself for the 2014 to 2019 MTSF. We also attached the budget documentation report and responses from the Minister of Tourism. We also have responses from the Minister of Finance. But if members want to get the actual responses from the Minister of Finance, they have to take the budget document received by the Minister of Finance in February. Then we also attach the information that we will be making. So we won't be focusing much on these other documents, but we'll be referring to them from time to time because they comprise what we will be saying. And the presentation is mainly from all of us, myself, the Minister, and the Committee there are issues in the sports that touch to work that we all do. So if there are clarity, existing issues for members, we will attempt as a collective to provide such responses. So as the chairperson indicated, members will see there are blank pages which are like a break in the presentation. So we will deal with the first part, which is conceptualization. Then thereafter, we will have a discussion. Then we move to another grouping of issues. Then we'll have interaction as such. So from slide to the introduction, this is just the matter that we have indicated to the committee, even in the or when we're dealing with the third plan of the department. That if you look at a global level, 1.4 billion people traveled in 2018, and that was a growth of 3.7%, and that is the number that was predicted for 2020, which was reached about 2 years earlier, meaning tourism is growing around the world. And also if you look at our own domestic issues, from 93, we had about 3.4 million, but now we are sitting at about 10.5. So that is a tremendous growth, given that we are 3.4 in 1993. But that is far below our potential. So it means there's a lot that we need to do as this committee to ensure that we drive achievement of those 21 million arrivals by 2030, as pronounced by the president. And we're also saying tourism is a new goal. If you look at the tourism in terms of employment, the tourism figures far surpass that of mining and many other sectors. That is why it was then prioritized by government as one of the six economic sectors of the economy. So we're saying, therefore, to ensure that we grow tourism, that last bullet today, it must be more inclusive. And to have a more inclusive tourism growth, if you say more inclusive, it means all those people that were like not included before, and those that are struggling to make it within the mainstream economy of tourism must be assisted to ensure that they also run successful businesses. Therefore, this committee needs to strengthen oversight in terms of ensuring that those things happen. So the first part of the group of issues is conceptualization. We'll spend some time here. Why, members? Because at the beginning of your term, ideally you should have had an induction from us. Not the induction that you, we're not talking about the organizational one, we're talking about induction in terms of the sector that you're overseeing so that you can understand the issues. But because of time constraints, then we had to hit the road running, there were stress tests and so on. But we said, let us not leave this hanging, so that when we talk legacy issues, we understand the context. So the context is like our own induction. Then we deal with the real issues, but those real issues, once we are done with conceptualization, we hope members will have an understanding of where those issues come from in the bigger scheme of things. Now, on slide 4, we start with the definition of tourism itself. We say tourism comprises the activities of persons traveling to and staying in places outside their usual environment, but that should not extend over a period of a year. There is a minimum that is always attached, a minimum of 24 hours to say you must be away from your place of normal residence for you to be considered a tourist for more than 24 hours, but it mustn't be more than a year, because other countries will start giving you citizenship if you are there more than a year. But also the issue of, in terms of the definition, the issue of 24 hours, if you look at the modern trends, it's becoming problematic, because now we are also looking at day trips, for example. You have new concepts like staycation, where you say you have to promote tourism within your own locality, where you take the family out for a day and you go back and you spend money in tourism attractions and establishment,
So that is part of tourism, but we have not exceeded 24 hours. So that is why we emphasize the issue of a year rather than 24 hours. Because if you look at the millennials, there is a new concept of vacation, which is a big thing out there, where lovers, like, they are competing about taking each other out and so on. So that vacation is part of tourism. And so if you say 24, people will go out, do whatever. Honorable remember Gumba was talking about going to Durban, July, for example. You fly to Durban, you do your Durban, July, and you come back, you spend on an airline, on food, and so on. You were a day visitor in Durban, but you also fly back to Cape Town in the afternoon. So you wear a tour. So I think it's important, because these things become important when you then deal with who is a tourist, when you start crunching numbers. But if you look at the definition of tourism itself, we say it is a sum total of all the phenomena and relations arising from interaction of tourists, business suppliers, host governments, and host communities in the process of attracting and hosting those tourists. That is important, because if you can look at that definition, it tells you that there must be interaction of tourists. So you need to provide for tourists. You also need, you use business suppliers as you travel. That will be your travel agents, your tour operators, and so on. You also have host governments that form part of this, the issues of policies, the political stability, safety, and so on. And all these things have to benefit the communities, because it's of no use if people go to a particular place and communities do not benefit. So that is a 1999 definition, but it has been adopted even at the United Nations, because it is comprehensive. It looks at the entire value chain. So when you deal with tourism, you are looking at all these issues. So on slide 5, we're looking at the importance of tourism. We say it is a vital source of income for many countries. We talk about contribution to GDP, which is it's hovering around 9%. It decreases and increases 9% for the country, so average of 9%. So that is important for the economy, because about 10% of the entire GDP of the country comes from the sector. And how do we generate this income? Through the consumption of goods by tourists, taxes that are levied by government, and also employment that is generated through tourism. Therefore, it is important to promote a mutual understanding among people and expand social, economic, cultural, and scientific cooperation. You say these are important aspects when you deal with tourism. The social aspect, in most cases, is neglected. We're just looking at the business side of things, but tourism must make sense to the communities. That is where oversight becomes important, to say, if we are saying 10.5 million people came, what impact that did that have on communities? Yes, it will be economic, because we're talking money. And we're saying tourism is an export sector, if you're talking economy, which is very important for members to understand. You know, mostly if you talk about exports, we're talking about goods that people will go and consume. We will produce and send these goods abroad. It means our products are consumed elsewhere. But tourism, people come and consume it here. But we have serious exchange rate happening in terms of money, and people come with their dollars, their pounds, and so it is an export sector in that sense. Not people will consume us out there; they will consume us here. But we are generating revenue the same way export products generate income. Also, we say the scientific cooperation. At a government level, there are a number of bilateral agreements that have been signed, so it becomes important at that level. On slide 6, we're talking about components of tourism. We're saying members should understand tourism in a broader sense. Mainly, we're just talking about people coming here, but we say members should understand really what comprises tourism. There are four main components of tourism. One is attractions. We say these attractions include everything that attracts tourists to a particular country, to a particular destination. If you look at bullet number 2, they say it includes cultural sites, archaeological sites, historical buildings, monuments, scenery, beaches, resorts, mountains, national parks, and many other things. But if you look at those issues that are enumerated in bullet number two, we categorize them into two. You will have your natural attractions and man-made attractions. Natural are those that are given by nature. But we turn these things into attractions. So oversight becomes important because there are serious issues there that we committee for tourism to become sustainable. For example, we are talking issues of climate. We are talking climate change and what implications for tourism are there. Most of our coastal cities have beach and other marinas and attractions that are found along the coast. If climate changes, what happens? We are talking wildlife. If climate was to change and cannot sustain our wild animals, what will happen given that about 65% of our tourism is from wildlife in South Africa? Then the natural beauty, which is our attraction, will be affected. We are talking our mountains, our water resources. If we don't maintain our water resources, we don't manage them, it becomes an issue, a serious issue. I think we are just still reading from the impact of water crisis here in Cape Town. And we can look at the water issue as a separate issue, but if you don't have water in a destination, people don't come. It affects the entire value chain. You have flora and fauna, you have the entire Cape flora region, which is an attraction. People come and look at these flowers. If they are impacted because of climate and they don't bloom in season, then what? So I think it becomes important then to conduct oversight on those issues, even if they don't fall within our pages, this committee, but we should interact with committees that deal with these issues. We have man-made attractions, those that we create ourselves, like the buildings, we have festivals, you will have leisure resorts, the Disneyland Museum, for example, in U.S. is a world now. But we are saying, why can't we create the one for South Africa? You see, because it is man-made. And we talk about tourism, supply and demand after this. But we are saying, in most cases in tourism, we say supply must respond to demand. So we cannot create a facility if there is no demand. But we are saying as this committee, can you look at that differently? Because there are destinations that did not exist and demand was created. Yes, it's important to ensure that we respond to supply, but can't we also create demand where, for issues of transformation and so on, can't we create new facilities in communities? Members, we're talking about rural tourism, township tourism and so on. That is a phase of stimulating demand, so that people can go into these areas. And also we're talking issues of accessibility. We can have all these attractions. There is a hand chair from honorable member.
Well, I think you will ask us as we go. Thank you very much. In fact, I'm not putting a question at the moment.
Yeah.
When we talk of attraction, especially the event, let's look at sporting events. In the far rural area, what did I do to the weekend event? Except those dry fields that are not built after anymore, nothing. You see? So I think when we get good things like land, when we learn, we must also look at what else can we do to correct whatever happens that is more sustainable than it is out for this multi-million event. But I, for my stability, I don't see any. Any benefits out of events like this. So that was just a comment.
Sure.
Yeah. When you talk about the 90 days of tourism events in the
and just quite trying to tell you in the session about how much of the 90% is constituting the importance of the technical facility in the community. But how much of the 90% is constituting the revenue of the location?
I just wanted just to comment on what's just been said, talking about using opportunities, tourism opportunities. And the speaker spoke about creating new places of demand and so forth. And although I agree with that, I think we need to first recognize what's there already and why it's not working. I've done a bit of research into various examples of tourist attractive sites. And off the top of my head, if I'll use an example, there's an area in Mpumalanga called Pilgrim's Rest, which was benefiting previously disadvantaged communities, was giving opportunities for entrepreneurs and so forth. And because the various stakeholders, not just tourism, but the local authority, provincial authorities, arts and culture, etc., have basically abandoned that place, allowed it to fall into dilapidation. You're finding that tourists, local and abroad, are not coming. And I just, by coincidence, was there a few months back and couldn't believe what it was, what it is now, to what it was before. Because it is a reenactment of a mining town 200 years ago, which is now a ghost town. And that's an opportunity lost. So my point is, the examples given about Disney World and all sorts of other tourist attractions throughout the world, they're successful because they're maintained, they're kept going. These things don't just happen on their own. Government, at various levels of government, be it local, provincial, national, have to make sure these things continue to operate and are attractive and interesting. And when that happens, the private sector, in form of tourist groups, in people, companies that bring tourists from abroad and so forth, will automatically go. And there, automatically, the economy in the area starts growing and so forth. So I find it very frustrating, and I would like to suggest, Chair, that we actually look at it in the next few months as a committee, to look at these areas and how do we make sure that they get reinvigorated, etc., because the government can spend relatively little amount of money for a great return, because the private sector, for example, when they bring their tourist groups, are going to do it for us without having to spend any money. And automatically those local entrepreneurs will come back because their beadwork and their traditional dancing, whatever it is going to be appreciated because people are going to want to go to it. So I think that's an important point to make. So it's all very well to introduce new tourist attractions, but if we do, we need to make sure they're maintained and continue to survive, but also the ones that have been left to wreck and ruin. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Comrade Chair. Yes, that's Chairperson. Yes. I'm not sure, because in the previous meeting we requested to have a record of all the B&Bs which were operational in 2010, and I'm not sure if the department received that record, and also the record that also gives us information with regards to their functionality since 2010 up to date, and the support that was provided by our department, what you call it, National Tourism Authority, and its provinces, you know, because I think in every province people were encouraged in the year 2010 to open up bed and breakfast to ensure that we accommodate international people through the 2010 soccer final, 2010. Now, I want to also get the report to find out how many of them are still surviving after we encourage them as tourism authority to operate as accommodation. And I'm not sure if that report in the previous meeting I requested that we need to get it. Please make a follow-up that you receive that from each and every province, as per the grading council, as well as per the how the tourism authorities of each and every province. Chair, before I pause, I need to also find out, because we have different tourism attractions in our country. I would love us to get the percentage of which each and every category is giving us as a country in terms of the percentage of whatever tourism, let me say, attraction it is. For instance, I know we have the sea. How many percentage of tourism, of tourists would love to come to our, or how many percent do we get from tourism out of the sea and other areas of water and tourism or water resources? Also, coming from the game reserves, how many percent do we get how many percent of tourism do the tourists start coming from the wildlife or the game reserves? How many percent do we get as tourism out of the whole tourism sector from the game reserves? Thank you. And many other tourism attraction areas, so that we are able to zoom into areas which we think may affect us, and how many percent can be affected if they are not attended to. But if you don't know that the percentage, then we want to know how many percentage is it that you are being affected if you are not taking care of such facilities or game reserves. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take this opportunity to welcome into the ranks of the People's Portfolio Committee on Tourism, the Honorable April. You are welcome, Honorable Member. Feel at home. This is your committee. We have always been getting indication as to why you will not make it to the committee, because you are in another committee. So you are welcome. You are welcome. Chief Chair?
Chair, thank you very much. Well, let me first register my confusion, because I did not get the part when you said we are going to be interacting as we go with this presentation. Now I'm now getting confused as to how do we engage as we go. Do we just ask the speaker to keep quiet and then we raise the issues and then he comes back and spawn and then we continue? I don't know how we are going to do it well, but I think we'll navigate our way as we continue with this legacy report and analysis of the sector. And by the looking of issues, Comrade Chair, the good doctor here wearing his golden key award, telling us that he was that student that got A's. Doctor, you're still giving us analysis of the sector, ne? And now if we zoom into the analysis of the sector, because those are just the overall analysis of the entire tourism sector, to say perhaps in the attractions, this is what is happening in terms of accessibility to tourism sites, this is the status quo in the accommodation sector, this is the status quo. Should we just raise any questions? That's my confusion. I just wanted to raise that, Chair, so that as I move with the People's Portfolio Committee, I'm able to engage and not be left behind by my colleagues who are raising. Because now I'm thinking I have also issues that I want to throw in. Should I just throw them?
Honorable Defrater.
I share the same concern, and I'm wondering if it wouldn't be an idea but let the speaker do the presentation to the end. And then we ask all the questions and comments, because otherwise I fear we may run out of time. So just a suggestion.
Okay. In the course of the introductory remarks to the presentation by the doctor, he indicated to the committee that there was supposed to have been an induction from the outset in June. And the intention of the support staff is that part of the objectives of this presentation will be around induction elements for the members. So the feeling was that if you do an induction, it shouldn't be like a teacher-student kind of a presentation. There should be an interaction. But if the feeling of the members is that because of time constraints, not because of the approach, because of time constraints, let's rather have the presentation, and at the end, the doctor, we can then say we think the following 3 to 5 key issues are the ones we need to zoom in terms of discussion. Then we can do that. Then honorable members can also bring on board what they think is critical and key for the thrust of the mandate of the committee. So I'm sure we'll be comfortable with that. I'm comfortable with that. I've got no qualms with it. Just before we give the doctor, as Honorable Makubela, Chair was saying, I also want to throw in, because before we get off to the throwing in, basically, I think we are dealing with a situation that is in 3 levels. Right? Level 1 will be your tourism sector that is well developed, highly resourced, and so on. That is your world-class type of tourism, infrastructure, amenities, etc. that you have in the country. So that will be your level 1. Level 2 will be your developing. So it's developed and then it's developing. And I want to agree with what Honorable DeFreitas was saying, to say between developed and developing, there are certain things that must be done to make sure that there's no decline in the developed and the development in the developing, right? So as the developing develops and grows, what are the things that we need to do to make sure that there's no decline? And how do you maintain the standards in the developed, right? That's category number 2. Then category 3, where the biggest challenge is the non-existing level, where there's no tourism at all. We don't even talk minimal there. It doesn't exist, right? And that's where poverty, inequality, and unemployment is embedded. That is where I think we need to be saying, how do we make sure that some semblance of tourism, we start planting the seeds there? So I want to support Honorable Muteka to say, and it goes back to what I've been saying since June. Village, township, to a certain extent, your small dorpies. People ask me, why do I talk about small dorpies? Small dorpies in South Africa. And I hope that as part of the support staff, you can get the research on the total number of small dorpies and their names and all the demographics about them in South Africa. All the small dorpies in this country have got critical elements of all the variables in the economy, including tourism. And the small dorpies are surrounded by the feeders, which is the market of the small dorpies. And those markets are the farms, where you find the farm owners and the farm workers, and then you've got the villages and the townships around the small dorp, because that's where they do their shopping and everything, commuting, going to work and everything. So for me, those are the three levels of categories that we need to be looking at and saying how do we maintain. And I want to support again what Honorable De Freitas was saying by suggesting that what we must emerge with as one of the way forwards here is some kind of a status report on tourism infrastructures throughout the country, their status as we speak, and those that have collapsed, what was the nature of the collapse, what caused the collapse, what is it that we must be doing to those tourism establishments to make sure that we resuscitate them. So that's my view, that we group this into these three components which are interlinked, because you can't completely separate them. The developed, the developing, and the non-existing. Those three kind of concentric cycles which we need to be working on. Honorable Motega, your hand was up.
No,
yeah, Chief Chair. Yeah, so I think if we can do that, then focus will be better. The focus will be better. We must find these infrastructures that have collapsed. And there must be some kind of accountability on what led to the collapse. And then we must then say, what do we do with the collapse? How is resuscitation going to be done? Because you can also continue introducing the new when the old is collapsing. It means the new is going to become the old at some point, and it will also collapse. Because there's no inherent culture of sustaining what is already existing. Not forgetting that in the course of us doing all these things, South Africa is in a transition towards becoming a fully non-racial and non-sexist society. Therefore, issues of transformation, as we look at the developed and developing and non-existing, we must always bear them in mind. So I think there's point of convergence there. That's basically what myself and the rest of the honorable members, Honorable De Freitas, Kumba Gumbi, is Kumba Gumbi?
Yes.
Yes.
Gumbi, Gumbi, Kumba, Kumba.
Kumba, Gumbi, Kumba, Kumba. Have been saying, and Honorable Makube. Yeah, if we call it professionally, Chief Chair, is it just Honorable Makubela or Mashele Makubela? Or is Makubela Mashele? Mashele is the most important one. Okay, Doctor. Thanks for the input, Honorable Members. As soon as we have dealt with your responses, then you can start galloping.
Okay. I'll attempt to go quickly over the issues raised by me. In terms of the legacy of events, including the FIFA World Cup, maybe we can talk about what needs to happen moving forward rather than what went wrong. We have the Conventions Bureau, which is within SAT, and they're involved in bidding process. And these things need to be embedded within the bidding process, the legacy of these events that we host. But we don't own these events. They will be owned by sporting federations and so on. But because they have a tourism element, ours is to ensure through the Conventions Bureau that these legacy issues of these events are embedded. But we take note of following up on the issue of BNBs, as Honorable Gomba was saying. But I'm saying moving forward, really, it's important that we ensure that they are built into the bidding process of this event, so that we know for sure if we are hosting a particular event. It's not all of them. Particularly business events won't have much of those legal issues. But some of these sporting events, by their nature, they have. Then the issue of the 9% contribution, Honorable Kum, really, we have been seen, but we can check with State SA in terms of where how do we then categorize contribution according to different sectors. I think they have information because they will know where that percentage comes from. And the issue of creating demand and also ensuring that we maintain, this is an issue that the committee has been dealing with for years, maintenance of tourist attractions. I think the ball is dropped at a local level, because if you look at some of these facilities, let's take museums, for example. They'll be categorized in terms of national, provincial, and local, and there's a problem there in terms of who then has to take care of these issues. And also, if you look at the Constitution, we'll talk about that later, tourism is a concurrent function. There's something that Department of Tourism and International cannot do. And some of these, they don't even belong, most, not some, most don't belong to the Department of Tourism. They belong to Arts and Culture and other departments, and they are not maintained at that level. So it's more of intergovernmental relations that needs to be strengthened to ensure that there is maintenance. And also, with the existing, if you look at the projects that were implemented by the Department of Tourism, I'll just talk to those. There were many of them, they were dealt with by the previous committee. We have a list. We can share the list with members, but I think the departments must come and do the same exercise they did with it, so that we'll know where things stand. But the process has moved to a point where some of these projects, Chairperson, the department is writing off their books because they are saying there's nothing they can do about them. That is not their own doing. They engaged GTEC, the Government Technical Advisory Services, which is an entity of National Treasury. They assisted them in doing due diligence in all these, so that we can resuscitate those.
So we've got that
report. We have that report. We can circulate it to members, but also I think they'll have to do this so that we'll know. But the process now is in stage two in terms of GTEC to say which ones are we going to move on with this committee, because we were looking at everything and it was cumbersome, it was not working. So we need to look at those that National Treasury through GTEC say they can still be resuscitated, then we move with those, we ensure that they are functioning. And in terms of writing off is a process, then the department, in terms of disposal of assets, that they have to deal with, because some of them, they were shabbily constructed, you find that you can't even fit things that we saw on oversight, you can't even fit a double bed in one of the rooms that were, some of them, in terms of the structure itself, there are cracks, there are a security risk for people and so on. So we have a report, we'll share the report. I think for now, Chair, let's move from that in terms of issues that were raised. I'll try and be fast. There are many issues that we wanted to deal with. We're saying in those components, look at accommodation, what becomes key to members is issue of ensuring that we provide world-class, as the Chairperson was saying, world-class accommodation. That is through quality assurance, through the grading council, which is so that grading system must be there, because accommodation is an important part of the tourism value chain. If we attract people to come here, we promise them a 4-star and they get a 1-star treatment, then it destroys the entire industry. So the amenities, they will form the same categories as your attractions, but here we're looking at those things that we now are providing that have been developed from nature to say now we have this. You'll have like routes, for example. The natural attraction is an attraction, but once you create a route, so those are the things that we need to look at as this committee to say, are we creating these routes? We have very good like routes in Eastern Cape, in rural communities. People are starting to to develop this on their own, but then what can be done to ensure that we have more of this throughout? Then on slide 7 is the issue of tourism supply and demand. Tourism rides on supply and demand. And if you look on the side that deals with demand first, if you look at literature from scholars, they will tell you there are three types of demand. You have actual demand, suppressed demand, and latent demand. When we deal with these issues as a committee, we don't look at them at that level. We just deal with issues as they are presented. But it's important for us to know at the back of these issues, you have the actual demand, where people want to come to South Africa for wildlife, for shopping, for whatever reason they come here. So that is actual demand. But we have suppressed demand, particularly by locals. People want to travel, want to engage in tourism, but they cannot afford. So it becomes issues of affordability, issues of the economic status of some of our citizens and so on. So that becomes an important issue for oversight to say, how do you make tourism affordable for the locals and so on. Then you have latent demand. There are issues, the chairperson in your categorization, you talked about non-existent. That is where the latent demand is, where you might find that you have a potential for tourism in a particular area. People will ask even to operators, do you have this particular product? But it has not been developed, yet there is a demand for it. So we need to look at these things to a point where we try to engage to operators in terms of the inquiries, because that is where you have opportunities for transformation, because you are talking about products that have not been developed, but there is a demand. So we need to look at those issues as this committee. Then, honourable member, I was asking about why people come here. Do we have categorization? Can we get that information? Yes. When SAT come, we'll request them to give us that, because you'll have reasons why people come to South Africa. SAT is sitting with that information in terms of why do people come here. It can be for wildlife. It can be for business, tourism, for arts and culture. People will state to say why are they coming.
W-I-L-D.
Not white.
You are vigilant. I like your vigilance.
Well, yeah, in environment, they even talk about wildlife economy. It's very important, because most people come here attracted by our animal, our bushes and so on. So we need to protect that, and people come here for those reasons. So I think there are many reasons why people come here. So that is a demand in terms of shopping. Others will be even for health reasons. Medical tourism is an increasing factor. You even for men now, you have men who are metrosexuals, who love themselves, who worry about how they look. So they will do certain medical procedures to look good. For women also, that has been there. So South Africa, we are good in terms of our medical facilities, and we are cheaper than other destinations. So people come here for these procedures, but it is mainly within the private hospital sector. But, and we're saying, as tourism, because we have a process, we have like a step-down facility where after people have undergone these procedures, they need to recover before they can travel. So we talk about money, people, they travel with families and so on. So that is a niche on its own, but it's not well developed. National Department is dealing with those issues, but at a very elementary level. So I think there are opportunities in all those things as part of demand. But if you look at supply will talk to all other issues that we talked to in the previous slide. We look at culture, you look at heritage. When you look, I'm talking about now those four bullets under tourism supply. If you look at legacy of physical environment and social cultural attributes, all these things that form part of supply, it means what is it that we offer to tourists? You are talking culture, touring heritage. When you talk about business decisions that people take in terms of tourism, we have Tourism Business Council of South Africa. We need to engage them more in terms of tourism investment. We have new hotels that you see popping up in cities mainly, but can they invest in because we can see that in most the emphasis of this committee is more towards rural and your township in terms of investment. Can't you then start swaying their investment decisions to say you can have this facility, hotel, or whatever in a township, or but mostly the attractions rather than the physical hotels. We'll talk about that later. Then if you look at the third bullet, the community responses, we're talking about the entire community-based tourism arena there. How does tourism benefit communities? What is it that we can offer as communities to tourism? So that is where we can unlock opportunities in terms of community-based tourism. There is a strategy that has been developed by the department in terms of community-based tourism. Then we'll request them during the course of this term to come and present that, and then state what have they done to ensure that communities are benefiting. The last one there, tourism governance, including policies and planning, we're talking about the whole area. So most of the issues that members were talking about, they fall there in terms of intergovernmental relations. Because there, for example, you're talking issues of visa regime, you're talking issues of immigration, you're talking about the concurrent function among the three spheres of government, you're talking about tourism structures that need to be developed by government. For example, if you look at here in Western Cape, you'll have the provincial government, then you'll have Westcro, which is now a structure that will deal with marketing and so on. That structure needs then to go down to every municipality needs to have a Westcro type of a structure in every municipality that deals with tourism. So other provinces are far ahead on this because it is part of the national tourism sector strategy to say you have to have this intergovernmental this structure, but other provinces they don't have. Other municipalities that we visited, they don't have these structures at all. So it is within government to ensure that so that we can start having discussions about tourism. Privatization of the sector, we have issues of permits, if you're talking about operators, and it's a big issue for operators, you're talking about legislation, all these issues they sit within government. And as part of oversight, we are not only going to be looking at issues that sit within the Department of Tourism. Permits, for example, they sit with transport. How do we unlock that as this committee? We are talking infrastructure. How do we ensure that roads? You go to some of the attractions, the road towards Mapungubwe, which is a World Heritage Site. You cannot drive there with a small car because the road is like non-existent. So how do we ensure that those attractions are attended to? Then, next slide, they are talking about tourism as a system. To say all these things, they work together as a system. If members can just look at that, you can see that long one that moves from community. It goes all the way around the destination to government, and it starts from communities. We are saying if tourism has to benefit communities, there need to be support services that are rendered to those communities. Some of these communities, they sit in next to protected areas, next to games reserve. What are they benefiting from tourism? What is government doing to ensure that that entire system works? But also government on its own, as those categories, what is government doing? What are communities doing? And what do we do in order to ensure that we develop those natural places into tourist attraction. So we look at the entire value chain, the entire system of the sector. So we can do the same with all of those. If you look at those arrows, they talk into those interlinkages and interrelatedness. All of them, they talk to destination South Africa. Because people coming here will be saying, we're coming to South Africa. But government influences how people come here, how they experience South Africa, and so on. So we need to look at this in its entirety. And that will give us what is on slide 9, destination competitiveness. To say, if you look at those bars, as a country, we can remain with plain spaghetti like the first bowl there. Or we can do everything necessary to ensure that we have that enhanced power. So that is a function of marketing, for example. That is a function of tourism development. That is a function of ensuring that traveling to South Africa is smooth. We deal with issues of visas.
brand positioning, how do we position ourselves, how do we deal with destination image, we have issues of crime and so on. So all these things we can do, it is within our power as this committee first to ensure that all other relevant government departments, particularly our department, they do everything possible to move us. Because if you look at other destinations, Kenya for example, we have everything that Kenya has. And if you look at what is happening now, Kenya is getting more tourists than we. They haven't overtaken, but in terms of rate, in terms of growth rate, Kenya is growing at a very high rate. Look at countries like Uganda. People used to come to South Africa because of our wildlife, for example. But people now are more into the gorillas in Uganda because of many issues in South Africa. For example, issues of canned hunting. They say our conservation is not up to scratch now. We were raising lions. There were issues of quotas. I think last week, if members listened to that court, where there were quotas issued by Department of Environment to say you can raise so many lions and transport their bone. And people hate that around the world, to say you are raising these lions to kill them. So they don't come here, they choose others. So how then do we deal with all these issues for destination? Because if we don't address these issues, they are not our issues, but if we don't address them, then they talk tourists away. Now, we will go to tourism industry performance, page slide 11. I won't deal much with it because these are the figures, members. No, because we have dealt with. But what we want to emphasize is that in 2017, we just made a comparison of 2 years so that you can see there was a decline in 2018. But this decline starts from your tourist arrivals, which did not include tourist arrivals. We know 2017 we had 10.3. and 2018 we had 10.5. It looks like there was growth in terms of numbers, but it was a decline in terms of target and the world average, so it did not grow. So if it did not grow, so that affected our contribution to the GDP. 2017 we contributed 8.9%, 2018 8.6%. If you look at employment, normally we just say 1.5. If you look at both years, it will be 1.5, 2017, 1.5, 2018. They say we included the actual figure so that you can see. We had 1.53 million, but in 2018 we had 1.49. So there was a decline in terms of employment. So also in terms of tourism exports, so there was a decline. But there were statistics yesterday by State SA where there is some improvement if you look at accommodation figures. So we hope 2019 won't be as bad as 2018. Because if you look at what, but as of March, it was bleak. But now, if you look at accommodation figures for May and June, there was a rise. So I won't deal with slide 12, members, because it's continuation of the performance. But all we can say there is to say, let us look at China, let us look at India in most cases, because we have a lot of growth there in those countries, but we are not capitalizing at on that growth. 13, we included this. There was a question asked by one member to say who from which countries. That was when SAT, but they will deal with this at length when they come here, SAT. So just included the slide so that you can see who are our top 10 markets currently. UK for obvious reasons, then US is number 2 now. It has overtaken a number of countries like your Germany and France. It was sitting at number 4 for a while, now it's number 2. And there is a global movement. I think this is important a discussion to take with SAT. In US there is a movement they call Go Back to Africa. And those countries where they were, particularly West Africa, where there was slave trade, they are benefiting a lot. They are even doing DNA to determine where these black Americans came from. So those people will then go to motherland. But we are saying we also migrated from north. I hope members will remember there was the Oprah Winfrey, the famous media person who was claiming she's a Zulu, but DNA said no. So I'm saying if you can have those things happening, then SAT needs to work in that space as well. How? Because some of them, they don't do DNA. They just want to go to Africa because that is motherland. So we need to work in that space, bring them here because they bring a lot of money. And that is work that SAT has not been doing. Yes, we are working U.S. A lot of work is being done there, but we have not capitalized. 14, now we are looking at domestic because most of these issues are international. Domestic, we are not doing very well. There is a decline. If you can just, for the sake of time, concentrate on that slide on the board because I think it's clearer there. You can see those are different, yes, from 2014 to 2018. If you look at that graphic representation of the white line, that is a decline. You can see from 2014, domestic tourism has been going down. So a lot of work needs to be done by this committee in terms of ensuring that domestic tourism happens. On slide 15, now we are saying if then we say the industry creates 1.5 million, where are these jobs? Because it's easy to say 1.5, but we are saying where are these jobs? Because this has an impact in terms of this committee's oversight. You can see that 30% of all jobs comes from road passenger transport. In terms of tourism, they were talking about tour operators. But members in this committee, let me just put this out there, particularly in relation to your question, Honorable Gomba. You see accommodation sits as number 3 and contributes only 19%. And the trends now are that it is not accommodation that is creating jobs or business for the industry. It is experiences and activities. So now, as this committee, you can choose to say you want to deal mostly with issues of accommodation or you want people to get into the sector through these experiences, meaning we need to create more tour operators. You need to assist communities. For example, if you say township tourism, and we're talking about supply and demand area, and African cuisine becomes an attraction in the township, maybe instead of saying, let us assist people in developing B&Bs in townships, let us move towards restaurants in townships. They don't have to sleep there, because members from time to time will say, but why are people not sleeping there? It's their choice. But they will come during the day. Let's make sure that when they come, we maximize, because they love to go to these places. Let them spend. Because accommodation, maybe when you charge a room, maybe you'll say, let's say 500 rand a room. But if you have like activities, you have restaurants and so on, you'll find that the person who would have spent 500 rand will spend 2,000 rand, which then creates more economic value for the township than a person comes. So I'm saying, in terms of your forecast as this committee, you need to decide, because this is TSA, the Tourism Sector Account of 2015. And this is what the statistics tells you. And in terms of your oversight, I think it's important to look at this. And then when the department says we are training chefs, then you say, but these chefs, do they go all the way towards developing their own restaurants in townships? Then that will be good oversight rather than saying we are training chefs. So I'm just making an example. Then that will create more jobs. So you have DMCs, these destination management companies, people who have inbound tourism, for example. I can make examples because it's a form of empowering members. You'll have like your Torvest, your Thompson's Travel, and so on, who are acting in the space of inbound. That is where the money is for tourism. You bring these people, you will have ground handlers. They work with airlines, they have ground handlers, people who are operators on the ground. Those are the people you need to develop. So that if you have a flight full of tourists from Germany, when they land, because they have developed your own ground handler, then they then use your transport. And that is where the money is in terms of your road passenger transport for tourism. I'm just making this as to say, when you conduct your oversight, let us go to those areas where that will make impact for the communities out there. Now, in terms of legislation and policy environment for the sector,
tourism is one of the sectors that are governed by the constitution. But I started with the structure there, the tourism governance in South Africa, so that members can understand at a current level how tourism is structured. We have national, provincial, and local level, which local will be regional and local. So that will be like your district municipalities and local municipalities. You have structures at a national level. They are working very well. You have the National Department of Tourism, and you have the MINMEC there, which is the committee of the Minister of Tourism with all the MECs. They meet on a quarterly basis. And at a DMO level, destination marketing level, you have tourism, you have South African tourism, and they meet with all the provincial destination marketing organizations, like your West Grow here, Gauteng Tourism in Gauteng, Tourism KwaZulu-Natal, Gauteng Tourism and Parks, and so on. It depends on each province how they structure this. So that level is working at a national level. They meet on a quarterly basis, they discuss these issues. Then provinces, you start having problems there. There are provinces that have good structures, and there are provinces that have poor structures. Ideally, what should happen at a provincial level is that there should be a structure that is headed by the MEC, which is equivalent to the structure that is headed by the minister. Then also the provincial DMO must also, the CEO must have a meeting with all the district and local in terms of marketing, and it will then deal with these issues of regional integration and so on. But you don't have that happening in all provinces. It becomes worse when it comes to the local municipalities. The mayors should be having the same structure. So what other provinces do? They will get a schedule of meetings for MINMEC. Then they will start scheduling their meetings at a local level, provincial, so that by the time the MEC meets the minister at a MINMEC level, they have dealt with all the issues. So what happens in most cases, the minister just goes from provincial level with ministry without issues from the ground, which is a problem, Chairperson. And we are saying that needs to be addressed, because we have ministers meeting MECs meeting the ministers on a quarterly basis, but they are not dealing with province-wide issues. It's just provincial issues, those that as a department they think are important, but they don't include issues on the ground. You have Limpopo, for example, was doing it very well last time we checked. KZN was doing it very well last time we checked. And that's how it needs to happen, Chairperson. So tourism structures, the chair was saying, we need that to happen, even to have those structures at every village. We won't get to that level, Chairperson, if we haven't dealt with it at a provincial and municipal level first. Then, slide 18, that is just a synopsis of the documents that govern our sector. You have the Constitution, then you have the National Development Plan, then you have the Act itself, then you have the White Paper on the Development and Promotion of Tourism in South Africa, which is a 1996 paper. Then you have the National Tourism Sector Strategy. I won't deal much with this. I will just deal with the Constitution and the Act for now. The Constitution, if you look at Schedule A, Part A of Schedule 4 of Constitution, it lists a functional area which is at a national and provincial level. But also, if you look at Part B of the Constitution, it then lists local tourism functions, which then means tourism is a concurrent. Then it becomes a problem, that concurrency, because you can push as much as you can at a national level. If things are not happening at a provincial level, then you can't make inroads, which then becomes important for this committee to establish close links even with committees at provincial level. Because what happens sometimes, you'll be going on oversight with a delegation from a province. They discover issues together with yourselves, because they've never been there in those areas. Then the guest surprise is you from the national parliament. So we think it's important that this sixth parliament establishes a very serious linkage with the provincial chairpersons and those so that whatever issues that you deal with, you, for example, you'll deal with an issue. If there is a close working relationship with Free State, for example, you can easily refer that matter to the chairperson so that it's dealt with, other than us. Because sometimes you go to Free State, let's say this year, you may not find another opportunity for the entire 5 years to go back to Free State. So you discover issues that you cannot follow up. So it's important that if then we have these close linkages with those patrol, you can then deal with these issues at that level. So that is at a constitution level. But then you have the white paper. The white paper is 96. We dealt with it. There are no issues. But if you look at the issues, some of the issues that were raised in 1996 are still relevant today. I'm not sure if members have the white paper. If they don't have, then maybe we can request which is required to circulate the copy of the white paper to members. But it's ready available on the internet. You can, so that you can see what your white paper says. Then the NTSS, we have the current NTSS, the National Tourism Sector Strategy, which is between 2017 and 2026. So there are, if you can go to that slide, on page 20, slide 26, I just want to make an example. I talk about NTSS. It's not clear there, but I think in your you can see that because it shows you the target between 2016 and 2026. If you look at the current figures in terms of where the sector is performing, we are underperforming for all the years since 2016. For example, if you look at contribution to GDP, 2017 was supposed to be 483 billion, we only had 412. Last year, it was supposed to be 467 billion, we only have 425. If you look at total employment, for example, it was supposed to be 1.6 already in 2017, we only had 1.5. It was supposed to be 1.63 in 2018, we only had 1.49. So I'm saying we are underperforming. And then that talks to the 21 million that the president has set for 2030. By this, we are not going to achieve that. But if this committee then starts, because they have 5-in-5 strategy, SAT, they call, so that is where they are dealing with international and domestic tourism, that 5-in-5 strategy. We need to improve drastically to ensure that we reach those numbers. Then, lastly, in terms of governing documents, there in terms of policies, the legislation, if we can go back to slide 18, we have legislation there. Now, the sector is governed by the Tourism Act of 2014, and already in the previous committee, issues were identified. There were issues of sharing economy and so on that were identified, issues of regulation of tourist guides, and then in June, in April, the minister gazetted the new tourism bill, and that was due in June. But when the minister came in a briefing during the APP, I had her telling members that she had extended to the end of July. So I hope currently they are processing the bill, and that bill is coming to members very soon. So it will need to be prioritized. Issues were identified in the fifth parliament, but they were never addressed. We have made contact, because if you look at this bill, it mainly deals with sharing economy and looking at the threshold, but we deal with it thoroughly when it is introduced, with issues of BNBs. We have made contact as support staff with BNB people who are talking to them, so that by the time the bill comes here, at least members have proper information in terms of what is happening in that space. So our plea is that when the bill comes, it must be prioritized by this committee. So slide 27, I was just indicating the members that
there is a monitoring mechanism at a national level for the NTSS, but we were thinking as support staff that maybe, because they have quarterly meetings, that maybe we need to have biannual meetings just on NTSS so that we can track things. Maybe if we meet them in the first quarter, we can then meet them in the fourth quarter in each financial year, so that you keep tabs on what is happening. Because you might be surprised that by the end of your term, all these things and all these targets that were set, then we are told they were not achieved. It's better that we have like an annual tracking. Or, so our suggestion is that on biannual basis, like first quarter and whichever way members will decide, but at least let us meet with the department just to deal with NTSS, because they have issues. They track this thing on their own, but we need to be abreast of issues as a committee as well. On page 28, there we are just saying there are many other strategies now, not at a police level. There are many other strategies that have been developed by the department that members can get hold of. They are in the website of the department. In your leisure time, you can read on this so that you can understand this. The NTSS being the important document, you have the National Tourism Service Excellence Strategy deals with issues of quality service in the sector. There are initiatives that are being done to ensure that it started as the preparation for 2010, because we were told our service standards then were very low, but still we are not on par with the world. So the domestic growth strategy, the rural tourism strategy exists, so it needs to be interrogated by members. Maybe we need to request them to come and discuss this with the committee from time to time. You have the National Heritage and Cultural Strategy. Then you also have the Tourism Sector Human Resource Development Strategy that deals with training. So this came as a result, because what we were saying, you have training programs all over. Have like a consolidated plan that will deal. So this was a result of those interventions by the Field Parliament. So depending on time availability and scheduling, we will request them to come and discuss this at length, because your interest, for example, rural tourism, what is contained in that strategy and how are they implemented, what inroads have been made and so on. Then we are coming to the legacy issues now, honorable members and chairperson. In the interest of time, may I not deal with the achievements of the Fifth Parliament and go to the issues for, because it will be like duplication, because some of the things that were achievements are now part of the legal issues that we need to look at. So in the interest of time, I will request that we go to slide 36, from slide, we move from slide 36. But what I need to say before we move is that when the Field Parliament started, there were many issues that they had to deal with. For example, alignment of the departmental programs. There was duplication with SAT. They had an international relations, which was their program three, that was dealing with issues that SAT was dealing with. They did not have any program that was dealing with destination management. You'll recall when they came here, they were telling members they have now developed master plans and so on. So that was as a result of that intervention to say focus on developing destination South Africa as a whole, identify areas with potential and develop master plans so that you can have investors. So those were the main issues that were achieved. Also, restructuring of SAT. There was serious restructuring. There were many issues. There was, if the committee suggested and the minister obliged, he formed the interministerial task team that came with the report. We can make that report available because we have it, so that you can see what issues they dealt with. So, which then culminated in what they have now, which they call the 5-in-5 strategy. So, I will then go to slide 37 in terms of the legacy issues. We are just starting with the
without going into details about budget, just to show members how this portfolio has grown. So later, if we talk about issues of funding with all the mandates, if we are creating, if we are firstly contributing 9% to GDP, and the sector employs 1.5 million, and we have a target of attracting 21 million by 2030, and we are sitting at 2.4 billion. Is that realistic? We are saying it is not. But we haven't got any joy. As we said, we included the responses. You will see in those responses by the department and the minister that there is no new money. So it's to reprioritize what is existing. So there is no new money to stimulate tourism growth. And this is a matter that this committee needs to look at. If you look at those, we included a column there that deals with the adjustments in terms of budget. And the last one deals with the expenditure. You can see that over the years, the department was spending more than 90%, almost 100% throughout. But then members must look at that together with slide 38. Now we are saying, you're looking now at 98-99 expenditure every year and the achievement of targets on yearly basis. You can see 2014-15 there was 84% achievement of targets, 84, 2015-16, 86, 16-17, 88, 17-18. We are yet to see this last financial year when they come with the annual report now. So I think budget was always almost 100% spent, but performance was always, on average, let's say 85% spent, which is an issue. And these are the issues because you find that there were delays in projects. We are dealing with that later. So as part of oversight for this parliament is to really ensure that the expenditure for department is commensurate to the achievement of targets, because you can, that given the budget that we have, 2.4 billion, and then you have money that won't be, with other years, some money is to be returned back to National Treasury and so on. So you cannot be underfunded. Because now when you go to National Treasury and say you are underfunded, but you have not spent all your budget, so you don't have a case. So we are saying it becomes a matter of this committee motivating, yet it's like you have already shot yourself on the foot, because now you are overseeing the department that in terms of achieving targets there is sitting at around 85%. But in terms of audit opinions, it was good news throughout, because we had unqualified opinions throughout and clean audits. The department even received the awards from the Auditor General as being one of the best performing, and the DG also. So in terms of governance and so on, really, they are not serious issues. The issues are with planning and achieving those targets that they set for themselves. And we have unqualified opinion with findings. We are sitting with that, and we'll see how they have. And the same issues with SAT. Even when it comes to your fruitless expenditure, all those issues, they were not so big over the years. So those are not the issues I think they will still arise. But there were few wrong elements within the department, the people that had to be disciplined and even expelled, because but it was not, we are talking about major issues, but we will see when they come with this annual report now. Now, we are looking from page 39, we are looking at issues for follow-up. We have dealt with the issue of the Tourism Amendment Bill, to say it needs to be prioritized. I won't dwell much on that. Now, in terms of funding, we are talking about TOMSA levy. TOMSA levy is 1%. Voluntary contribution by private sector. Whenever people book
or consume these services. So the levy collectors will then charge 1% more from the tourists. It's not money that comes from the coffers of the establishment. It comes from the tourists. So theirs is just to collect, and that money is then transferred to South African Tourism for marketing purposes by Tourism Marketing South Africa, which is an entity of TBC, Tourism Business Council of South Africa. And that money at the moment stands at about 11% of the contribution of the entire budget of SAT. We contribute from the department, 53% of departmental budget goes to SAT, but of now the budget of SAT in terms of their revenue streams, 11% thereof comes from Thomsa levies. So the oversight work that needs to happen is to engage the TPSA as a private sector entity to ensure that we have more levy collectors. Because we had said, in terms of increasing budget, we can look at the issues maybe of the tourism tax. National Treasury rejected that because we had said they must look at a feasibility study. We are not saying they must introduce. It was just at a feasibility study. So they rejected that and said it will need a thorough research. So, and also in terms of tax, they then referred the committee, if you read in terms of the attachments that we made, they said you already have that taxation there from Thomsa levy. But the problem with the taxation is that it is voluntary. It is not everyone within the private sector that collects. So it is then engagement with the private sector that needs to happen to ensure that we have more levy collectors. Slide 40 then is deals with issues of funding continuing. Then we're saying we need to know for sure how much we need. The committee has said before there must be an economic study that is conducted. SAT did conduct a study, but we need like a conclusive study that when we engage Treasury as this committee, you must have a scientifically conducted that they say, really, if we are contributing so much, because I was thinking, if you say you need 20, by 2030, we will be attracting 21 million tourists. You can then extrapolate in terms of the numbers that we're getting now, and 21 million, and say, this is how much we will be generating. Our NTSS goes as far as 2026. So the work that needs to be done by this committee is to talk to the Department of Tourism to extrapolate further to 2030 so that we can know for sure, though estimates, but we'll know by 2030 how much we'll be contributing. Then you can, as a committee, use that information when you lobby National Treasury for more budget. Transformation is a serious issue. The sector remains untransformed, but the issue that we are raising there is that you have the Tourism BE Charter Council that deals with these issues, which is the entity of, it's not supposed to be the entity, but the way they're operating, they operate like they're an entity of it. They're supposed to be independent. One, the immediate work for this committee is to ensure that Charter Council is independent, because even support staff, they have seconded staff from the department to work with the Charter Council. And Charter Council oversees the implementation of the BE sector codes. And we find that most companies are compliant. But there is a study. We can also make the study available because we have it. 2017 study that the committee had requested the department to conduct to get the sense of how was transformation in the sector. It doesn't look good. Like in all five elements, there is underperformance. Then the question becomes, can we then rely on the codes only, or do we need to do more to ensure transformation? So there needs to be more interventions by the department to ensure transform, because there is compliance, but that compliance does not translate to real transformation in the sector.
Then there was issue of immigration regulations. A lot has happened since this report was drafted, and you'll recall there was an announcement by the Minister of Home Affairs then about the visa reforms, and there were going to be pilot studies done with New Zealand and so on. But since then, as SAT discussed, you remember, we have a number of countries that have been exempted in terms of this, and we have announcements about visa on arrivals and so on. So this matter is still an issue, though, because the ultimate ideal situation will be having visa on arrival, electronic visas. So as part of this committee, in terms of, I'm talking about these issues as we move along, because the chair said, what are those issues that we think needs to be highlighted? So that's why we highlight maybe what we think needs to be done. So as we deal with these issues of the visa regime, the ideal situation is electronic visas and visa, but then Home Affairs, they also have to deal with security issues in terms of human trafficking. So how then do we transverse the two? Ensure that you maintain safety and security, but you make traveling easy for tourists. Airlift is a serious issue. Recall when we're talking about the components of tourism, we talked about this. So airlift is an issue. At an international level, we're a long-haul destination. We are far from everyone, so it's expensive to travel to South Africa. But also, within the continent and within South Africa, it is expensive. Sometimes you have to fly out of Africa to travel to an African country. And if you look at the flight fares, there are destinations. For example, if you look at between Durban and Cape Town, it's very expensive. But you look at between Cape Town and Joburg, it's reasonable. But then if you look, because now you have flights from Cape Town to Skukuza, for example, for those people who want to go and enjoy Kruger Park, you look at those fares there. They are so these are the issues that we need to look at, because it then talks to issues of geographic spread. There are issues that we can't deal with because people cannot reach those issues. They cannot reach those destinations. We just included a slide here, honorable members, to show you the impact of the policy uncertainty with regard to visa, with immigration regulations that were introduced in 2014. You see, in 2014, we had 9.5 million, and in 2018, we had 10.5. So that is the growth that we had over the 5 years. And we are lagging far behind the global average. We are even behind the continental average. So that situation needs to be rectified, and needs to be rectified very quickly. Because if we continue growing like that, and we say 2030, you are saying 21 million, and you look at what has happened over 5 years, that is really a far-fetched target. And then the issues of fourth industrial revolution, we need to look at how we protect jobs. We embrace fourth industry. We cannot do away with it. We need to embrace it. But how do we protect jobs? How do we ensure that our destination also becomes compatible with the fourth industrial revolution? People want to make instant posting now on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter when they are visiting, and other destinations are providing free Wi-Fi. So if we are talking about attractions, we are trying to make these things, these linkages. If you say our attractions should be of the world standard, people go to another destination, they have free Wi-Fi, they enjoy the experience, they post whilst they are there. But you can't do that but some tour operators have introduced that in their cars, they'll have free Wi-Fi. But you don't have ubiquitous one because it's not provided by government. It will only be available to those people that have bought that particular package. Then infrastructure and safety, those are serious issues there. And we are dealing with negative media in terms of safety issues, and we don't have a coherent safety strategy. And this does not only deal with issues of markings and stuff, it has also to do with disaster management. I'll make an example. Recall, remember, there was Nizna fires, and houses burned, they including accommodation and so on. So how do you deal with the situation if a bus full of tourists is involved in an accident? Because that is not crime, it's a disaster. But that plan should also talk to issues of safety. How do we coordinate safety with police and other relevant stakeholders? That is why then the chairperson has called. I think if Jerry has not, is going to communicate the next week, then there will be this urgent workshop that the chairperson has called just to deal with the issue of safety, because it is getting out of hand. Then the issues of concurrent on page 44, we have dealt with that, the geographical spread. So geographical spread then talks to these issues that chairperson and members are talking to, in terms of small towns and dorpies, township tourism, right? How to ensure that tourism is not only concentrated on major cities, but also benefits rural communities. You can deal with, or you can look at that together with what is on slide 45, that rural and township tourism there, that last bullet on slide 45, because also that is a geographic spread. But also have issues of affordability. We talked about demand, and we said some people cannot even afford. So how will this committee make sure that tourism becomes affordable for citizens now, not just for international, but how do we make sure that the citizens travel within their own country? Then we have issues of conversion of VFR and relatives. Members were talking, we were asking about what are the reasons for travel. For domestic tourism, more than 65% of travel is within a VFR, which is visiting friends and relatives. And that has not been converted into leisure tourism. So, but because of the definition that is allowed by United Nations World Tourism Organization, chairperson, if I travel home from Cape Town, I take a plane and I go home in KZN, then I will be counted there. Yet I won't be sleeping and I'm just going home. Maybe I'm going to a funeral, a wedding and so on. That is part of tourism, visiting friends and relatives. But now we're saying what the entity needs to do is conversion. To say if my friends are coming home for a funeral over a weekend, how to make sure that those people have something to do there? Then they become tourists in my village or in my dorp there. So that is what has not happened, chairperson, and is a matter that is serious and needs to be dealt with, because the NDT said they were still studying VFR so that they can do conversion. So as this committee, you need to follow up to say, do they understand now the dynamics of VFR and what are they going to do to convert? Maybe I can also include issues of religious tourism there, because we are talking about it elsewhere. For example, Limpopo, if you look at domestic tourism, Limpopo is number one in South Africa in terms of domestic tourism. But if you look at who are those tourists actually, those are religious pilgrims that go to Moria. And then the question is, do they consume tourism services and so on? If they don't, then what the entity must do is to ensure that you convert those religious pilgrims into domestic tourists, because already you have volume, people are traveling, and you count them. And as things stand, no province can overtake Limpopo in terms of domestic tourism because of that volume. But is that volume real tourism? That is the question. Is that volume, though, are those numbers real tourism? Yes, in terms of definition, they are. It's the same issue with statistics when you talk international tourism. To say 10.5 million people came to South Africa 2018, but a huge chunk of that, more than 60%,
comes from SADC. And if we are now talking about contribution to GDP, most of it are international tourists, not from SADC. So people will come for shopping and so on. But in terms of UNWTO definition, you count them as tourists. So these are all issues that we need to look at to say how do we then prioritize. Then marine and coastal tourism, there is a strategy, Chairperson, that was developed. The entity will be requested also to, because there is a lot in the strategy. But what is important, there are the concessions, because you find that some departments like environment, they have concessions, for example, for boat. Let me make an example with whale watching. It's very famous along the east coast, and it lasts around from August until September. You have whales for breeding purposes. They will move from the cold waters up north, and they'll then migrate. So that becomes a lucrative business. You have boats that will follow this. Even around Western Cape, you have very serious businesses around this, also in KZN. But then you need to have permits and so on. You look at what's happening around the Smangaliso in KZN, there are issues also there around concessions. So you need to look at these concessions. How to ensure that permits? Because, for example, if you, I'll make an example of what was discovered by the previous committee. They met with Smangaliso and they said there were concessions that were ring-fenced for communities around there. But they said for you to be able to operate a boat, you must have 1.5 million in your bank account as a company for you to get it. And most people did not. So those concessions were taken back to the private sector because none in the community could afford that. So how then is this committee to deal with those issues? Because it becomes like a red herring exercise to say, here are the concessions for the community, but you know no one will achieve this. So I think then there needs to be some mechanism this committee can deal with those issues. My thinking is we have the Tourism Transformation Fund, for example. You can use that because you must have a boat, because the main tool for trade there is a boat. You're taking people there. Then we have other issues there, but the main tool is the boat. So can't we, I'm just throwing it out there, can you then maybe use Transformation Fund if there are people that say we can run this business, we can do whale watching? Can you then use Transformation Fund, Chairperson, to fund that boat for those people to there? Because, for example, one person in that boat, last time maybe it was 5 years ago, it was around 600 rand just to get into the ocean. It is not a long trip. You just get in, you follow these whales, then you come back, 600 rand. And maybe you can do that 20 times a day if you operate this boat. People and people love when they are migrating. People love to follow. I'm just making one example about these concessions to say then you need to unlock these things as a community for communities, particularly that live along the sea and that have interest in being involved in those type of businesses. Then the Working for Tourism Project, Chairperson, is the issue with the infrastructure. The committee has already said now you need information in terms of what worked and what did not work. And we said we'll make that report available. So a lot of work has been done. And mainly with the infrastructure projects, the community projects that failed. And the issues there were around planning, construction, and also issues around marketing and operation, because others were constructed, they were finished, but they were not operational. So the operational model becomes an issue. So there are some that have been supported. For example, I know of Nehakwe in Limpopo, you have Versus Hook in Free State. There are good models where a private operator has been brought on board to assist the community, but then there's an agreement in terms of the management agreement. Communities run that thing, then you have a manager that will be trained, and sometimes they will first come with their own manager, but they'll train local people, then the exit strategy that when they leave the skills within the community, and it works well. So these are the issues that as a committee, when you say you want to look at what worked and what did not work, you can look at this
like Yonehakwe and versus Vuk in particular, how that works, so that when you look at what doesn't work, then you can say to the department, why do not support others the same? Because the support is not the same throughout the board. Others are supported and others are not supported effectively. Then the issues of institutional arrangements, we have talked about that, Chairperson. Performance audits. There's an issue that was raised with National Treasury. National Treasury does not conduct performance audits. Performance audits, they'll only look at governance issues to say, if PFMA says this is how you issue a tender, and was it done correctly, and so on. And fruitless expenditure, those issues, was money used for what it was used for, did it to make deviations from the budget that was approved, and so on, financial audits, they do mean with that, the financial audits. But now, once this tender, let's say maybe you issued 50 million for this company to construct a community lodge, National Treasury will not follow the construction of the lodge to say, was the lodge constructed? Was it according to specifications, and so on and so on? So now what we are saying is that there needs to be a performance audit. We need to go to that level, because that is why so many of these projects failed. You will find that a project in terms of financial management, everything is good in terms of the books. The department even got a good audit opinion because everything there happened according to the law. But where money was spent, now there was no audit. So this is very serious, Chairperson, in terms of ensuring that you don't have many failed projects, particularly your infrastructure projects. Now, still on page 47, there is issue of tourism and climate change. We have dealt with that. The department has a strategy that was developed, I think, in 2011. We need to interrogate that further because we haven't seen this, we haven't discussed it with them before. Because climate change is a big issue. But we are saying, embedded in the issues of, let us look at all the natural resource management plan of the department to say, how do you deal with issues of wildlife, issues of wildlife interaction, issues of can, because all those, at the end of the day, they impact on tourism. On page 48, I'll just deal with two issues there. Issues of follow-up on oversight visits, it was not done to the maximum. It was done, but we are saying this time around, Chairperson, maybe we need to have a matrix for all resolutions from committee meetings. If a resolution is taken, there must be a way of ensuring that what was resolved by the committee on a particular day has been implemented. And with the reports, if we go on oversight, the report will be ATC, then we rely on the office of the speaker to then channel it correctly to the office of the minister. And we don't normally get those responses. That will also be the issue with the BRRR responses. Sometimes it becomes a serious process that we have to embark on between ourselves and the department to get those BRRR responses. So the PLO knows, because we end up pushing with the PLO to get those responses. So we say it shouldn't be like that. So maybe this committee, we will develop a matrix, Chair. Then that will bring to the committee for your approval to say, maybe after every meeting, the secretary must have a meeting, and it must be discussed with the office of the minister and the DG to say, after every meeting, they must expect communication from the secretary to say, this was the resolution and we need a response thereof. Then the tourism is the intersectoral industry. We have dealt with a lot, but we are just saying there we need participation of all relevant stakeholders, and we'll see how we deal with that. In the interest of time, Chairperson, because we have also looked at this and then came up with the challenges and proposed solutions. So these challenges is something that we have dealt with in terms of these issues, Chair. For example, if we can look at slide 54, I'll just make an example with two. I won't go through all of them. I'll just make them with two slides so that members, when they go to others, will see what our thinking behind. We say, for example, the legislative and policy environment. There have been many changes in the geographical international trends and countries lagging behind on some developments, such as sharing economy. But already we have said when we deal with the issues of legislation, we need to deal with this matter. So it's a challenge that will be dealt with by legislation. Then if you look at the regression in Auditor General's findings, then we say, as much as we're saying throughout the years, there were good audit opinions, but there was some regression in 17, 18. So then we're saying the Auditor General must conduct performance audit. So you can see we're taking these issues. We're taking these challenges from the issues that are legacy issues and saying this is how they need to be dealt with. So we won't be dealing with all of them because they follow the same method. I will deal with let me deal with one on page 63, Chair, because that needs an urgent. Joint marketing agreements, because it has an audit opinion. That's why I'm saying that I'm looking at that one. SAT, they sign marketing agreements with a number of companies abroad. SAT has offices. We have requested them to come, honorable members, just to deal with their business model. So they'll be dealing with these issues to say when we do marketing abroad, we sign joint, and this is what entails joint marketing activities and so on. This is when we do segmentation and we choose markets that we invest in and so on and so on. But I'm just dealing with this one issue because it has an audit finding. And they were not following their joint marketing agreements correctly. So Auditor General raised an issue to say when they conclude their JMAs with third parties, they don't monitor implementation. Let me make an example. They will sign a contract, maybe with a company in Germany, to say we are going to give you 500,000, I'll make an example. We're going to give you 500,000 and you must bring us 100 tourists. Because these companies, they generate tourists from abroad. Because it's a serious competition with all other countries. So that is a practice throughout the world. There's nothing wrong with that. To say we sign this agreement with, it is like a company in Germany appointing a company in South Africa to bring people to Germany. We do the same for South Africa. We appoint companies to bring people to South Africa. But where the problem is, if we say we're giving you this amount of money and you must bring so many tourists and you don't bring those many tourists and there are no consequences for the company and so on, that is where it becomes a problem. So the AG picks that one and the matter that will need a follow-up. Now, the rest will follow, as I said, they follow the same arrangement. I will then go to page 74, Chairperson, because now these are committee operational challenges. Now, these are internal issues that have nothing to do with entities and other government departments. One, Chair, is the issue of approval of oversight work by the House Chairperson. What was, I would say, the norm for this committee? Most of the applications were not approved. And even for events and activities that the entity and the department are reporting on. We just made a few examples. We have a tourism indaba. Every May, is now called Africa's indaba. So that Africa's travel indaba, it brings people from all over the world. And it's like a showcase for our products where people can clinch deals with these foreign companies and so on. And it runs, it used to run for a week. Now it runs for about 3 days.
And an application will be made for that, for members to go and see. Because, for example, SAT will come here and say, we are supporting SMMEs for market access, and we have, they call them hidden gems, we take them to Indaba, and so on and so on. Now, when you apply to go and see that, then there will be some reasons for you not to go, but we are saying that needs to be addressed by the committee. But more, Shepherdson, we are looking at your office for this. And I think you can share experiences with Honorable Makhubele Mashele, because sometimes we felt sorry for her, because we'll push with her and she will be hitting these brick walls when it comes to these issues. But really, we say if it continues like that, then you have Meetings Africa, for example, where we are looking at investments, tourism investment, you have people who come to invest. It's a very important event for members to go and see what, because you are funding that event, and it's where also people will say, there are so many hotels. Well, what you will see, you get surprised, like you are in a tourism committee, but you get surprised like a member that maybe stays in transport, because you just say hotel coming up in Cape Town, you don't know. But as if you go to these events, you will know that there are so many hotels that will be constructed in Cape Town this year by this group, so many rooms and so on and so on. So that's why I think it's important for you to attend these meetings. We have the Lizela Awards. Yes, there were a few approvals for the Lizela Awards where the sector is awarded for good work that they do. It's owned by the department, but the awards are issued by the NDT. Then we have tourism month activities now in September. September is declared as a tourism month internationally. So in South Africa, for tourism is a plus because it coincides with our heritage month. So there will be invites also from the minister to say we are hosting a tourism month event in this particular province. Members should go there, and there won't be approval sometimes. But moving forward, I don't think it is possible this year. We are saying, Chairperson, on that one as a committee, there must be an activity of some sort every September to observe Tourism Month. So moving forward, then as a committee, we'll decide what we do about that. Then the issues about international trips is the same thing. The fourth Parliament Committee never went abroad the entire term. But we observed there were committees that got approval. They went abroad twice. So we are saying that needs to be addressed, Chairperson. Because there's nothing we can do. All we can do is to conduct research and say, if you go to Kenya, this is what you can do as a best practice and so on. We give this to members. We put an application. But then if it is not approved, then it's a challenge. Then effective oversight work also. We are saying the approach needs to, the chairperson has already outlined the approach in terms of the triple R approach. So that is the approach that I think the committee has agreed on, but we are saying there needs to be on our side as the staff. Our commitment is we'll always support the committee with whatever in terms of content and research briefs. And in terms of these issues, it is an observation from us as staff. You know, having worked with different parliaments, members are passionate on certain aspects of oversight. And we think it works best as a committee, as a collective, or as your different caucuses, to identify issues, in all these issues that you are raising, to identify issues that you think will be impactful in terms of oversight. And we must know that this is Honorable De Freitas's issue, and if he raises this issue, the department must know, and this issue must be dealt with. Because as a committee, we end up being all over the show. And you can see how many issues. And this is just the tip of an iceberg in terms of the issues. because we selected even from before, we selected, there is a lot that needs to be done. So we cannot do all these things and achieve all of them. As much as we are trying to achieve all of them, our advice as support staff is real. If members can maybe have two or three issues, you are dealing with everything else, but there are issues that you know. These are my issues. 5 years, by the time I leave this committee, I need this to have been achieved. That's what I'm saying, as a committee, and also maybe as your different caucuses, because at the end of the day, all this work ends up as an oversight work of the committee. That is where we stop, Chairperson. Thank you, Honourable Members.
Okay, Doc, thank you very much. From the presentation, Honourable Members, on the legacy report, the following way forward is being deducted. I'm sure that will serve as a way of also having a discussion. One is tourism infrastructure status quo report with an objective of resuscitation possibilities and accountability. Two is initiation of precincts which are tourism focused in the villages in the country, the townships and the small dorpies or small towns. That is oversight forums from village level up to where we are now. The next one is status and analysis report on developing and almost non-existing possibilities of tourism. The next is creation of an oversight structure which must include the provinces and the municipalities. I'm sure in municipalities we are going to struggle a bit because institutionalization of oversight is different from legislatures and parliament. For instance, at the municipal level, oversight is the core focus of the speaker's office. It's not necessarily committees of cancer. But we'll see how to circumvent that. The next one is a figure towards the more than 21 million tourists by 2030, which is 10 years. The details of how we are going to, year by year, achieve that particular objective. Particularly, the department should indicate how with these difficulties that you indicated here of either stagnation or regress or slow growth in tourism in some areas, how is that going to be achieved? And then acceleration of the deals by the end of financial year 2019-20. The next one is quarterly meetings with the department on NTSS and synergy on different strategies. On two strategies, I think all in all, they are about 30. And then report on cooperation and support among the departments. I've asked Minier Boltino here to... Where is that? Yeah, this. The one at the bottom. I'll see. Kilo to another bicycle. Yeah. It's a wheel of a bicycle. Now that wheel of a bicycle represents the entire executive. The strings inside there represent the different departments. And that if the strings are not well tied and interwoven with each other, the bicycle is going to lose balance and ultimately the rider will fall. So that's the some track that must be there among the departments within the cabinet, the executive. The next one is on creative methods to mobilize capital resources for tourism. So we need to be looking at indirect funding. and other contributions to strengthening tourism, which is not just financial resources. So it will be capacity and other things. The next one is tourism budget quantification exercise. To say if you get an unqualified report, you have spent 100%, where did the rents and cents go in actual terms? Tourism sector transformation charter and consequences we need to be looked at. Next one is acceleration of solutions to the visa challenges. Solutions include possible electronic approach. The next one is maximization of air travel routes. What are the routes that we have in South Africa now? Are sufficient for what we want to achieve? Which other routes can we research and possibly introduce? Now, researching and identifying other routes doesn't mean that we have to necessarily introduce them immediately. But it means you having a long-term plan, because you know how the country is growing, that in these areas you may need to increase routes and so on. The next one is Fourth Industrial Revolution Tourism Sector Plan. Rather than always complaining about possibilities of losing jobs, is how you use that opportunity to induce job creation. Because I don't know people who are complaining about Fourth Industrial Revolution replacing jobs. What is the problem? Now we have got tablets, they were never there before, and the cell phones, and nobody complained that, and these computers. And when aeroplanes were introduced, nobody complained that it's going to take people's jobs, because that was part of industrialization. Who is this man that introduced bulbs? Yes, Edison. Edison, after trying more than 1,000 times or so, then came up with the introduction of bulbs. So we shouldn't be fearing the unknown. So the attitude at the mind level and all other levels must be different. It's rather how we use the opportunity to enhance all the opportunities that are there within the tourism sector. The next one is infrastructure. Disaster and safety for all areas across the country. That will include the safety problem. It means for every village, for every township, for every small dorp, for every city, for every block, we should be saying, if an emergency happens, what is the disaster plan? And for safety, what is the safety for every street, every block, for every area? How does every household get to be involved in making sure that every person next door is safe? Because we'll never have sufficient numbers of police to police every house and every street. And then the EPWP strengthening, working for tourism projects. We need to get an update report on that review. The inducement into tourism economic elements through this VFR, and then marine and coastal tourism monitoring as part of our work. Tourism and climate change. I was saying to the doctor earlier that I don't know, Memo Makubela, whether there's been any relationship between what the Fifth Parliament and those that came before did with regard to the COPs, COP. COP 1 up to, we are now on COP 21, up to COP 21 with regard to issues of climate change. Because I see when they discuss in these COPs that take place at the global level, they only discuss mainly in the context of environment and not how it impacts on other sectors like tourism, and quantify the financial and economic implications on this destruction that is caused by humanity. How that impacts on tourism. Oversight visits, activities, reports, and follow-ups. And in brackets, I've inserted house chest disapprovals. I'm sure Honorable Chief Chair there will help us. Joint marketing agreement audit consents. I don't know whether it was not a shortcut to put a moratorium instead of resolving the problem. It looks like the moratorium was a shortcut, food bikeist approach, instead of resolving the problem. Now, Honorable Gumbi raised a matter around that July, which I think we must return to. What is the role of the embassies of South Africa across the world? It can't just be facilitating overseas trips or visits or state visits. In my view, this is one of the issues they must be dealing with. It must be one of their key performance areas. If it's not, it has not been made one of their key performance areas. Rather than putting a moratorium, you should be saying, how do we use all these embassies? Because we spend a lot of money. I mean, if we can ask international relations to tell us from their budget how much is spent per embassy, and the staff complement per embassy, I mean, it's massive. The question is, how do we just convert that to help to resolve some of these problems that we are facing, instead of trying to come up with something outside what is existing already? Then the last one is September to become a culmination of work done throughout the year. The current approach is that in September you try and do something, right? So in September, departments and everybody else will try and do something for September so that we honor and celebrate the tourism month. So my suggestion, Honorable Members, is that the approach should be adjusted slightly. September must be a culmination of everything you have done from October up to the next September. A culmination. So that we don't cut corners, you know. In September, we try and come up with some activities and we tick the boxes to show that we are celebrating the tourism month. But rather, September must be about milestones that over the year we have worked on and we have achieved, so that all and sundry in South Africa must know that the expectation is that in September, we are going to be getting reports, update on milestones that we have achieved throughout the year. So that will be our year end for tourism sector, not much for the budgeting cycle. So September becomes a culmination. The other ancillary thing that has been suggested is that in this collective year, we must look at the specialization. Tourism is broad. Each one of us must indicate 2 to 3 areas of specialty where we think our passion is and where we think we want to excel as members of the committee. The floor is open for discussion, so we'll start from the extreme right. Not that I'm a right wing. We'll start from the extreme right. Honorable Muteka.
Thanks very much, Chairperson. Let us again welcome the presentation. It is so informative for some of us who are new in this field. Chairperson, I think to do away with this problem of the site that we can't do anything because it belongs to agriculture and all that, I think we need a combined meeting sometimes of the two committees so that we can deal with those areas where we feel not comfortable. And again, the issue of investments to some areas which are not touched. For example, there's a report here that says the rural or villages have not been benefited, and that's what we have been saying. And the report is saying there is less progress. We need an updated report from 2012. That is many years. From 2012, what actually was done to make sure that the rural child is benefiting out of tourism sector? And the third thing is, there is always a problem between the provincial mandate to municipal level. National can't do anything about what is happening down there because of the constitutional mandates and all those things. I think somehow somehow when we do these bills, we must touch those areas. Because I remember in the last term I was in the sports and recreation. Some provincial administrators or politicians, they will just misuse funds, for example. And then you, the one who have allocated that grant, you can't do anything because of legislative measure. How can you allocate money but you can't make follow-up? Or you can do follow-ups just for the sake of asking questions, engaging each other, but you never punish or do anything about it. And the point was given here that going to the province, sometimes you go once in the whole term. Or sometimes some provinces you don't have time to go at all. So how are you following and making sure that things are happening and they are reaching the ground? Because the main purpose of the whole thing we are doing here is to make sure that the person on the ground must feel that indeed is part of this South Africa. Chairperson, the other point I want to make is this thing of measuring performance by the figure of expenditure alone, in brackets. Because at times, people just spend for the sake of that the year mustn't, you must check it. In the last quarter, people spend the most. Because now they know, if I don't do it, I'm in trouble next year. So those, I think that thing must be classified. How many percent out of that 98% they claim they've spent? How many percent were wasteful and fruitless expenditure, and how many percent were responsible expenditure? So that we know, when we talk of 100% expenditure, before we clap hands, where the most chunk went. The issue of oversight, Chairperson. The issue of oversight. How can the Committee of Parliament blocked to do oversight? But at this thing of going to check events, going, now we're talking Kenya as the most attractive tourist country in Africa at the moment. But we don't, this committee in the previous year, in the previous term, they never went to Kenya to see what the Kenyans are doing. And again, it is possible that we want to go to Kenya and see what Kenyans are doing. We're talking many countries that are doing good, but you don't go there because there is chair of chairs that does not approve or to approve. And I can tell you, Chairperson, it's not only this committee. It, most committees that are led by women are, getting this problem. Sports and Recreation Committee, there's a lot of things. Can I finish?
No, I shouldn't.
You must, I think she's misunderstanding my statement.
My, are you done with your point of view?
Yes,
Honorable Kumbi.
Kumba.
Yes. The you will correct me, Honorable Muteka, if I'm understanding you correctly. My understanding of what you are, the point you are trying to present is that because of patriarchy practices that exist within the constitution, I mean within the institution, committees that happen to be led by women are targeted for disqualification of requests or decline of request to undertake such oversight because they are led by women. She's not he's not necessarily saying, yeah, now you agree with him. Okay, point of order sorted out. Okay, Honorable Muteka, if you can just wrap up so that we go to the next.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Kumba Kumba.
Okay, yeah, my point was there, Chairperson. I must not be misunderstood. I'm talking it on experience based. I was in the Sports and Recreation Committee, which is led by which was undermined the whole term, and it happens even before. Now I hear it here now. It disapproves all the way because to me is how I view it, because the committee was like, maybe the change will come, but if the wrong thing is happening, my habit is just I must speak up. The last one is this one of marine tourism. We spoke about 1.5 million minimum that must be in the bank accounts for you to be active in that tourism sector economically. So I want to understand exactly, because some of the things really they are racial, because how many of the black people are having 1.5 million in their accounts? So some of the things you just have to do away with them, if they are legislator or what, I mean they are laws or whatever, they must just go. We can't allow those things that are blocking our people from participating in the economy because of the empty pockets. Who are we empowering? We can't do that. Those things are belong to the apartheid and they must be scratched. Thanks very much.
So now we'll operate.
Thank you, Chairperson. It's my maiden contribution into this committee and it is really nice to be here. There's loads of information that's going around, like wildlife tourism. I mean, wildlife tourism. Chair, if I remember well, in the recent future, there was something like this short-lived program that was run by the department. That short-lived program, one would have loved to know what was the yield in terms of domestic tourism, what has it contributed, because it looked like as it was. It was an effective tool used by the department to encourage locals to travel. Chair, I also wanted to make a contribution with regards to, I come from the city of Ekurhuleni, where we host the biggest airport in Africa. And the presence of the Department of Tourism in that airport is basically non-existent. There is so much potential that can happen in terms of how we spread the tourists that lands on our shores and how we direct them strategically about where to go, what to do, what to see in South Africa. But when you go to the airport, and which we do on a weekly basis now, can anyone tell me where's the Department of Tourism at the airport? I've never seen that thing there. There's a strategic avenue that can could be used at the airport to direct where we would want to see tourists go. We're talking about marketing, and there's a huge chunk of money that is being spent by the Department of Tourism on marketing. But that marketing, we don't know where it happens. Maybe it ever happens overseas more than what it happens here. But I can really not tell you if we should account and we look versus the money that we spend in terms of budget and what is the things that we are seeing and what we are informed about. It is a little bit imbalanced that I find there. Chair, also, when we're talking about the small dorpies, and the small towns and the non-existent tourism that is happening, there is a place called Postmansburg in the Northern Cape, where there's a lot, a huge economic driver in terms of the mining that is happening there. But not only that, the open mine in Kimberley is there, but there's not a lot that we do to direct investment and tourist and use these attractions that we... That is the Honourable. Honourable Hoss. So what I wanted to say, Chair, is... The information that one a lot, it's overwhelming, and person may not know how to make sense out of it all. So I tried to read up before I came on the legacy report, but I'm not a fundi in this area yet. I'm going to have to learn a lot of these things that we do. But we would like to see an environment where, I don't know, I heard you say doctor. I don't know what doctor's role is in the department really. And who is the accounting officers in the department in terms of the DGs and so forth, because we can load a lot of questions and throw things to him, but whether he would be the person to be able to respond to those things is another thing. So with that said, thank you so much for the opportunity, Chair.
Our doctor here is the content advisor of the committee. Yeah, it's not the department. He is part of us. And then me and the Dr. Honorable Kumba, we've agreed that that part that talks about man-made, it will be person-made, not man-made. Just to be careful that we don't trample on...
On your toes.
Yes. And to be right, actually. Honorable Mieli?
Chairperson, my contribution would be on just two things. Is that the committee, I think we need to deal with the gap between the developed and the developing. I think we must come out straight to what are we going to do so that we can close that gap. The other thing is that the community next to tourism destination, what are we doing with them, because they are sitting there, they are doing nothing, but everything happening in front of them. I think we need to do something else from today. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Honorable Mieni. Honorable Kumbi.
Thanks, Chairperson. Chairperson, there's a few areas I think that just from the presentation and from a level of consensus from the committee that I can see where we should possibly over time identify a chance to have joint portfolio committees. And obviously we, I think as a committee, have to one first get our own ducks in a row in the sense of what do we want out of a joint portfolio committee before you even go there. Because I do know that it takes quite a while sometimes to be able to set one up, because other committees have got their own programs, which is separate from ours. But the first one obviously is happening around the safety of tourists, which is happening next week. The other one, which was suggested by one of my colleagues, is on the sites, for instance. But then I would identify possibly two more other ones.
The one in the international relations, specifically around the areas of JMAs, I think they said, joint marketing agreements, because I think that it is a huge part of an embassy. They've got, they're the one physical representation of the country with people there who are able to speak, not only to speak or facilitate arrangements with travel companies, which a large portion of people still use. As much as many of them have gone online as well, and that's another aspect which we're going to have to look at about how are those facilitated to get the best, you know, of ourselves out there into the world. But possibly South African tourism, I would assume, is more involved at that level. And then the last part is on the cost of coming to South Africa, and I don't know. Whether that would mean that we involve transport and others, because the costs can go into flight costs. So like, what are our initiatives with airlines and transport to be able to get the cost of flying to South Africa lower? I mean, visas are one aspect of it, because if we look at some of the best repeat destinations in the world around tourism, let me take Thailand, for instance. Thailand has a very comprehensive offering in terms of like what you get there, from cuisine, which we will have our own, from climate, which I think that we have quite a favorable climate around the country, because that allows you to do a number of different things, such as sporting, water sports, outdoor activities, indoor activities. We've got all that infrastructure in built up and in the non-built up sector. But at the same time, the cost to get to Thailand is incredibly, incredibly low, which is why you find that it's the one place that people often repeat to. But not only for us, across the world, it's the number one repeat destination for the world. And so how do we, for instance, drop that cost so much so, and find a way so that it is easier for other people to come to the country? Because especially the more the costs are higher, all that's going to happen is that you're going to have a proliferation of these online search marketing engines, which they themselves present their own challenges, because then you have a tourism amendment bill, which is in essence actually something where you are dealing now with proliferation of new innovative ways where people are trying to get somewhere else in a much cheaper way. But we're not dealing back at the core essence of the issue.
Thank you
very much, Chair. I just wanted to find out if there's any safety and security strategy for our tourists, particularly in the hotspots where they're being targeted. I know that maybe we need to engage the Minister for Safety and Security, because that is one of the things that may cause us a decline in tourists coming to our country. The other one is about the performance audit that I've read there through the screen, which was flagged. To say that the AG, you also said the AG is not actually following up whether those things were really implemented, those constructions were really done. Now, my question is, maybe don't the Parliament have its own project management system or personnel that are dealing with the project that are being constructed to ensure that they are really implemented, constructed, and also getting a report as to the progress thereof? The other one is about the tourism marketing strategy and its budget. I would like to include its budget to say we must have an improved marketing strategy by focusing and ensure that we include those that were excluded, you know, before. Because every year you find for the previous 30 years since the inception of democracy, only few areas are being marketed but not new ones which are emerging and which are very much interesting and would be interesting for the tourists. As we're becoming boring and people feel that we've been there, we need to come up with new products and market them and stop spending money on products which are already known for 10 for 30 years. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mine is just a comment around the presentation that we've received today from the support staff, which is the content advisor, the researcher, and the secretariat. My submission, Chairperson, that I can make to the portfolio committee as colleagues is that perhaps we should appreciate the legacy report and the key findings of the work of the Fifth Parliament. And then from there move over by putting our own vision or legacy for the Sixth Parliament, is this portfolio committee. To say in our submission and in us doing our work as legislators overseeing the department and its entity, this is what we want to influence so that it can be achieved in the entire tourism space, so that we can be able to leave a blueprint for ourselves, and after the 5 years, we can be able to say this was our blueprint as the portfolio, as the People's Portfolio Committee on Tourism. And then perhaps if we are to take particularly your example on small dorpies, on townships and rural areas, perhaps see how best are we going to engage the department and various tourism stakeholders to say how will funding and investment be channeled to those areas. Because we can talk until we are blue in our face and say we want tourism to be beneficial to rural areas, to township tourism. But for as long as tourism is conceptualization and how the department runs tourism and how tourism stakeholders impact on the tourism environmental space that is created by the department is structured, we are not going to get anything. Because unfortunately, the department and its entity, they follow existing tourism established businesses and attractions. And it's only now that they are introducing perhaps, like, let's say, the introduction of the Tourism Transformation Fund. But also that Tourism Transformation Fund does not only come to somebody who wants to establish a tourist attraction. It goes to somebody who has already an existing business that wants to extend their business and ensure that perhaps with this reinforced Tourism Transformation Fund, which is just 5 million, I can extend this tourism attraction to include this and this and this. And also the conceptualization of this Tourism Transformation Fund within the NRF says that you will not get investment that will be going into the small towns. You will not get the support of those tourism stakeholders like the local tourism authorities who are trying to organize themselves, not get any funding, but trying to work in the tourism space. Perhaps ours as the portfolio committee, my submission, doctor, I think because you are one of the clever blacks, you can... one of the intellectuals and together with your team, perhaps see how best can we say as this portfolio committee, we are going to try to ask tourism stakeholders, ask government to channel investment to small towns and townships. But also municipalities. Although we're saying tourism is a concurrent function, municipalities, it's true, they do not budget for tourism. Or even if they want to budget for tourism, with the limited resources that they have, they're not able to put money aside and say this money is definitely going to develop tourism products. They also ride on saying we are going to market the tourism products that are there, we are going to give them assistance in terms of training and in terms of exposing them perhaps to tourism in Daba and all the other platforms that are there. But how do we channel investment to those areas? Perhaps, Comrade Chairperson, it will not be too much to say, as much as we understand that we are different political parties in this portfolio committee, perhaps bring our own submission to say we as members of parliament would want to see in the 5 years this achieved in the tourism space. Bring it in a basket of goods and throw it there. And then we'll be able to engage and see whether this is a radical thing, and it will be ourselves that say no, maybe an honorable member went too extreme, we maybe cannot support this, and how best perhaps can we support, or we can try to say let's beef up your idea and take it to this strategic direction that we want to, so that at the end of the 5 years we can be able to say as this portfolio committee, this is what we have achieved in terms of transformation, in terms of ensuring that there are new products that are channeled or investments that are channeled to small towns and townships besides the training, because what is happening now is just training and supporting, but we are not getting real tangible things that are happening in those townships or that are going to be channeled to those townships. And then that I think will not be too much to ask for, because I think it will be in line with the strategic objectives of Parliament, of our oversight mechanism, and moreover with our manifesto, because we as members of Parliament, when we go for elections, we promise people to say this is the basket of things that we will be giving you if you vote for us. And in voting for us, we in this Tourism Portfolio Committee must be able to say to South Africans after the 5 years, this is what we have done. Perhaps if we can say, have that Chairperson up front, so that when we are working towards our 5 years, we know that this has been our vision. We are trying to work towards this blueprint, so that when we leave this parliament after the 5 years, we do not only look at the legacy, or those that are coming in do not only look at the because right now we are looking at the legacy of the fifth parliament. Well, there are some achievements that we can point out to say these are the achievements. But we cannot boldly say, as the fifth parliament, this is what we have in the inception of the parliament. We put ourselves as this, as the vision of this portfolio committee, and this is what we have achieved, and this is what we have not been achieved, but these are the milestones that we have worked towards achieving those goals. And lastly is the issue of the national tourism sector strategy. Perhaps it would be advisable to say now and again we visit, not visit in the sense of saying we ourselves, besides calling the department to tell us how they have achieved on ensuring that the national tourism sector strategy is implemented, we are able to say ourselves the policy environment that we want to be created for the NTSS to be able to be implemented, how far have we done? Because we can say that the national tourism strategy is there, but ourselves, if we are not able to look at areas that are hindering the implementation of the NTSS in terms of the policy environment, you know, how best can that be implemented, you know, just looking at what we have to do and how we assist them, so that it's not only them that are coming in and saying, well, yeah, we've achieved, yeah, we've not achieved, but these were the policy uncertainties or these were the areas. For, I take that looking into currently the Airbnbs, you know, that is a policy environment or space that we were supposed to have as members of parliament come in and regulate that space, or come in and see how best to do we allow policy and the act to regulate, unlike allowing self-regulation. But we have not been able to do that ourselves. How then do we, were the department supposed to have implemented some of the issues or the areas around the strategy without us giving or laying the foundation for them? That's my submission.
Excellent, excellent. And just to extend on what Honorable, I want to call you properly, because I call you by many names, Honorable Makuvela, Makuvela Mashela, you say. We said when we started in June that tourism must also help us to deal with issues of poverty, inequality, and unemployment, right? Now, those three critical problems that are facing this country, they are located in every village. You can go from here up to Messina. You are going to find these three things: poverty, inequality, and employment. So you are going to find them in every village, you are going to find them. Every township, you are going to find them. The overcrowding in the township that leads to informal settlements, then crime creeps up and goes up, you are going to find them. You are going to find them in the small towns, the small dorpies. Now, I'm happy that the minister also spoke about rebranding. So basically what we should be saying, in line with what Honorable Makuvela is saying, is rebranding, repositioning, and renewal of the South African economy through tourism, with special focus on villages, townships, and small dorpies, without compromising what exists now. Because as Honorable De Vreyters was saying, we can also, at the expense of what is existing, I mean, compromise what is existing, because we're introducing the new. So we are not saying that our special focus now is going to shift to every village and every township and every small dorp. It doesn't mean that there will now be a neglect of what is existing currently. So from a policy perspective, we'll have to say, how do we deal with the two? Now, what does this mean? It means that as a portfolio committee, we must find presence in terms of our oversight platform in every village, in every township, in every small dorp. We must go in every village, whether everything else that must ensure tourism exists, whether it's infrastructure, it's issues of security and safety, it's transportation, it's communication, everything. That's why there's a proposal here, and I'm happy members are agreeing to it, that in every village we must have tourism-based oversight forums. In that forum, that's where you are going to find people who are dealing with safety, others are dealing with transport, others are dealing with this and that, this and that, this and that, in that forum. And at this level in parliament, because now people have got gadgets and so on, we will be able to link up with those forums directly on the ground, throughout the country. And then they can feed to this committee by using technology on developments that are taking place on a daily basis. They will be able on their own to say, this is our blueprint for developing tourism in Khayelitsha. step one is going to be one, step two, this, step three, this, until we ensure that there is total tourism improvement in Khayelitsha as an example. And then everybody else, the department and the private sector and everybody else, will then have to agree with us that the focus must change now so that we can focus on these poor people in the villages, in the townships and the small dorpies. Then we are able to say we are dealing with poverty. We are dealing with unemployment. We are dealing with inequality. Then we can quantify the numbers and say from job creation, how many jobs in numbers have we created and how many young people are there, how many women are there, village by village. But Bakahamujaji must be able to touch tourism and lift tourism in that village. And when things go wrong, the tourism oversight forum of that village must be able to send that information to us. So they will be our ears and eyes. It means on a daily basis in that they go. It means, Honorable Gumbi, this committee will be there every hour in every village throughout the country. We'll be getting information quicker. People can just send us a WhatsApp or whatever. We can use all these platforms for people to communicate with us, and then we populate them through the work of the committee to the public. If we must move as speedily as possible in that direction. And then we must talk to COCTA and say to COCTA, COCTA, there is a disjuncture between institutional arrangement at a provincial and a local level and what we do here in Parliament. How do we make sure that that disjuncture we sort it out? For instance, one of the things we are going to be doing, like MINMEC, you see, when a minister calls MINMEC, he or she calls MECs of tourism, right? We don't have something equivalent to a MINMEC on the oversight part. And we must be having something equivalent to MINMEC on the, from the oversight perspective, where we call chairpersons of. That's why I was asking you, Honorable De Freitas, on who is the portfolio chair for Western Cape, so that we can have a, not exactly MINMEC, but it will be for oversight purposes, also on a quarterly basis. As the portfolio committee, we meet with the provinces and SALGA municipalities at this level. Every quarter, we meet with them. When MINMEC meets, we are also meeting on this particular side. And then we can tell them if they mislead us and say, no, the village-based tourism oversight forum has sent us this information. And it's contrary to what the provinces say. And the people on the ground can't lie. This is the information they have sent. So they'll be helping us, those people on the ground, to do effective oversight on the ground. And they will forever populate it through the system. At this particular level. So I think all of us agree that the next 5 years, that will be our context, and we must push everybody in that direction. It's not going to be nice, it's not going to be easy, but we must push everybody in that direction. We can't, after 26 years, we still talk of other areas not having nothing. I mean, there are other villages, if you can go and talk about tourism, they know nothing, absolutely nothing about tourism. And tourism in townships is limited to Chesanya. Chesanya and a BNB, that's where it ends. It's a Chesanyama and a BNB, and maybe Kawash. And tourism is much bigger and broader than that. The other thing that we must add there, Doctor, it was said in June, I don't know who among the members said, we need to attend to the curricula from our education system. Curricula, I mean, as far as issues of tourism are concerned. People can't start studying tourism when they reach tertiary level. because that's how it is. Or we do live on tourism at the board, you know, grade one. So there is currency from grade one. Yeah, I know it's a secondary level. So what's the problem of teaching a child when there's a grade one about tourism? Yes, Kobi. Agree to that. The doctor program, unless there are things you want to extrapolate or deduct, emphasize, strengthen. Over to you, doctor.
Thanks, Mrs. I think members have covered a lot of issues. And for us as support staff, we have a lot of homework as well in terms of what we need to do. So I think one of the things that I'm choosing from the discussion is that we as support staff, we need to develop the oversight model of the committee. Because now we hear, you know, the approach that members are talking about, so that it doesn't get lost, and that oversight model of the committee or approach will then include it in the five-year strategic plan. Because once Parliament has finalized their strategic plan, so we need to have like a serious strategic planning session for this committee. Already we have a basket of issues, as Honourable Kulimashiro was saying, to say, let us throw these things on the basket. We already have a lot of issues. Therefore, us, then we need to synthesize, and you know, so that when we present them to, and they need to be part of this, so that we can track these issues over the 5 years. I think that is one commitment from our side. But secondly, there has been a suggestion of a number of joint committee meetings. So what we will do on our side, we will develop concept documents. I assume in the communication that was sent by Ujiri to members about the meeting next week, there was a concept paper there for safety and security workshop next week. So I think we need to do that for a number of committees. And starting with those that have been identified today, then moving to others that will be developing from time to time. I was just thinking, talking about issues of the cost of travel and so on, to say maybe we need to have like a colloquium of some sort or a summit on the airlift in the country. That airlift, it will deal with the issues that were raised by Honourable April, issues that were raised about the cost. And we bring everybody under the same roof. For example, have answer, because some of these issues, they have to deal with taxation, for example, Chairperson, to say if you land in a particular airport at a province. Let's look at what's happening in two provinces here in Western Cape and KwaZulu-Natal, where they have forecast early strategies, where you go to an expert, extent where there is a partnership between the private sector
and the provincial government in terms of funding some of these issues, so that airlines will come, and that assist then in bringing. So I think we need to have, then we can have those provinces maybe as part of that engagement to say, this is how we have been doing it, and we then learn that as a lesson for other provinces. But for us, is that to come up with a concept document for that to say, this is what we need. You'll have BASA, for example, what is the board of the airlines. You have the board of airlines of South Africa. It's called BARSA, B-A-R-S-A. So where all these airlines are represented. So where we can start talking about, why are you not flying to a particular seat? So then we identify issues, then we start talking to small dorpies. Because, for example, at this committee, we went to Limpopo. Then we were stuck there at this committee. It was a learning experience for this committee to say, this is what people experience on a daily basis. You have one airline that flies there and is erratic. Sometimes they don't come. That's what people were saying. It's a shame to fly. Sometimes they'll come, sometimes they don't. And we had people there that were saying, well, I have a connecting flight in Japan. So you'll find that someone is going abroad, but the trip get destroyed there. Because now you cannot go in and connect. And others were saying, we're not even getting refunds from. So it's messy, this thing of air lift in the country. So I think we can put together all these kinds of concepts then, because as another was saying, to say, so sometimes it's difficult to get this committee to meet with you. And we have secured police for next week, but we need to start as early as now, so that we know maybe when they are scheduling, even it can be the second or third quarter for next year, but we know already this issue will be in their progress, but no discussion. So that is commitment from us, so we'll be updating the chairperson and the committee in terms of these things. But in terms of, there were like specific questions, for example, there was whether there is a safety and security strategy. The minister said they are developing one. So it will be discussed next week, we'll see. But we had requested as the previous committee, it was at a disaster management level after the fires in Nile. So we'll see how far the strategy covers disaster management as well. So that is then why the chairperson said that they have this workshop, so that if these issues are not now at a development stage, the department must know, they mustn't just cover all the issues of safety. But so we don't know of any. But minister said they are developing one. And also we don't have as parliament, there is a project management unit in parliament, but it is for parliament business. It's not for oversight purposes. So we don't, because ours is oversight. So really, when it comes to project management, but what we can do for project management issues, we can invite GTEC, even as a committee, for them to take members in terms. For example, there are issues involved in the constructing tourism, you know, from your architectural designs and so on and so on. When we deal with infrastructure projects, maybe those are the resources we can tap to say, so that members can understand really what needs to go in constructing a lodge, for example, so that when you go now on oversight, at least you know. Honorable Krumbo becomes a serious resource when it comes to the chairperson, because he can just sit in a room like this and people are talking. He can tell you, okay, this wall is so many square meters, and in terms of current rate, this wall should go for this amount of. So he becomes, but we need to take members to that level where you cannot be taken for a ride and people will say, this is worth 20 million, whereas it's 2 million. So, in terms of issues that we think were covered, we will generate a basket of issues, then we will do this concept document in terms of joint oversight. Other issues, I think, we will take them from time to time as they arise.
All right. Then item on the program, it was circulated.
The only issue that we wanted to to raise to members was that we circulated this program. All we wanted just the endorsement, the chairperson, from the committee, because what we have done with the program, we have just changed the item number 3 for Tuesday, 27 August, and then we will have with that a joint meeting with the South African police, and then we will see how do we fit that NTSS briefing by the department as we go along the way. Because we have submitted this chair to the Office of the House Chairperson as our guide between now, 20th August and 20th September. We've got only 5 weeks, and then we wanted is just for the portfolio committee to endorse this, because ordinarily we were supposed to table it to the committee first and then we submit it thereafter. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much. Two things that have emerged here which I think are critical is to add at least one meeting in 6 months, joint committee, which is twice a year, one meeting in 6 months. It means for the next 5 years. That's the principle we are adopting. But also we are adding once per quarter, an equivalent of a mini-MAC, but on the oversight part, as working with provinces and municipalities. So those are the just two things that you will add. The rest, I will discuss them with the Honorable Makubela, the battle between the Office of the Chair of Chairs and what is supposed to be done by the committee in terms of oversight and so on. So I will actually ask her to accompany me when I go to meet him so that he can see that I've brought along experience. He can't begin to delete that. But I'm sure we will, if it means we must push him harder, we'll do that. What is point of convergence in Zulu, or Xhosa, where the roads converge, intersection? Huh? What do you call it? Mtanga is bit. Uktanga. Uktanga. That intersection, right, where roads meet, where, yeah, point of convergence. That's what I'm trying to, yeah. Okay. Okay. And in Swati? Okay. Okay. Kaswana ke Marakanelo. Yes. Kas in Swana is Marakanelo. Marakanelo. Where things be? It's Marakanelo. It's a Chavi. Africans be the rapper? Yeah, I agree. This most crazy part. Meet my car. Yeah, confluence. Komkomsa. Okay. Now the reason I'm saying this is because I was just thinking that one of the things our people should be doing on the ground is to create these areas of convergence for tourism in every area. There must be a place that is well known all over the world that if you go to Tembisa, you can't miss that place. That's where things happen. So that's from an economic perspective, what should be happening. So all activities take place there, and they promote tourism there, right? That's like Vilakazi. Yeah, yeah. In Guguletu there is a...
Zoe.
Yeah, Kamzoi. And so on. We need that throughout the country. Yeah. So that when you are a tourist, then you come, wherever you come from, domestic, local, or international, you can't leave that area without visiting that place. Marakanilu. That is in Setswana. The last item is draft minutes. There's a request, Mr. from Boltino, that we defer them to next week. Is that agreed to? Anfar?
Anfar.
No further date on the committee to petank for the vergadering van. What is tourism in Afrikaans? For tourism. I was afraid because I was afraid to say tourism. I meant terrorism. Tourism. So thank you very much, honorable members. The meeting is adjourned.